Been in this series about the Ten Commandments, and today is Commandment 8. Next Sunday is going to be our last Sunday. Commandments 9 and 10 are combined into one message, and you'll understand that better next week. And so we are coming to the end of what has been a very long series, and I've enjoyed very much, and I've appreciated your feedback and encouraging me to just take time through this teaching. And if you are new to this, or maybe today is your first time, obviously we are teaching through the Ten Commandments, and just wanting to bring a good understanding around those things. They were laws given to mankind, man who needed boundaries, man who needed guidelines, man who needed some parameters and some rules. I really don't like that word when it comes to God talk or even church talk. But man needed some structure, and so God said, "I'm going to give you 10 laws. I'm going to give you 10 commandments, and if you'll follow these, if you'll orient your lives around these, if you'll build your lives on these, then your life is going to be blessed." And I know they're old. They're more than 3,000 years old, and yet they are timeless. Something that is so ancient is so timeless. But we needed some fresh perspective and some clarity on how to apply these laws to our lives in 2025. How do we apply these to the context that we are living in? And so I trust that the Lord has helped us to do that, because we want to be obedient to God's word, and we want to be honoring of God's word, and that's been the goal of this series. And I believe that God has helped us and is helping us, because we as a church are hungry for all of God. We want his whole word and his whole counsel, and I believe that he is helping us. So here is the eighth commandment, Exodus 20 and 15. You must not steal. You must not steal. And I almost hear the collective sigh of relief. Finally, one of the commandments I'm not struggling with. Finally, one of the commandments I do not have an issue with. I met one of our guests last week. I understand some of these have been a little bit heavy and have certainly been probing. I met a first-time guest last week, and she was so kind, and she said, "I just want to say that was very good today, but it was also very direct." And I said, "Well, I want to take that as a compliment, but it's not me; it's the Word of God, and sometimes the Word of God is certainly in our faces and in our business and is helping us, but." It's amazing to me that in the dictionary there are 138 synonyms for the word steal. Meaning it's not as cut and dry as you might think it is. I suppose 138 synonyms for the word steal, the idea of stealing. It's amazing the number of ways people can find to steal or to thieve or to rip someone off. We know, or at least I think we're going to know by the end of our teaching today, that God is talking about more than breaking and entering. He's talking about more than what happens in our communities far too much. You know, some punk breaking our window and getting in. I see it in Atlanta often. People that lay notes on their dashboard. There's nothing in this car. There's nothing of value. There's no money. There's they're just hoping someone will pass them by and not attempt to break and enter or to steal something from them. Of course, with this commandment, God is appealing to our sense of integrity. He's appealing to our sense of right and wrong and trying to cultivate a higher level of integrity, because Christians should be integrous. Believers, Christ followers, should be people of integrity, should be people who are honest in their dealings. I listen to news radio, talk radio a lot in my running, and there's a commercial that's on right now, and it drives me crazy. I wanna call in so bad because the guy is selling something. You know, he's trying to get you to sign up for some monthly subscription, and so he says it multiple times. This is just $29 a month. And I'm like, that pause, you're making people believe that this is only $20 a month, when in actuality it's $29 a month, and it just feels a little smarmy. It feels a little underhanded. Somebody's going to call in and just how we handle our business, how we transact business. We get into the finer details of this commandment. So I want to talk to you about ways that people steal. Again, none of these may apply to you, or something in here may trigger something in your spirit that says, I've never quite thought of it that way, but I believe these are some of the things that God was aiming at when he established the law, when he established the commandment, we must not steal. Here's the first one. We can steal by deceiving customers. Deceiving customers. $29 a month. Deceiving customers. But believe it or not, this was a problem 3,000 plus years ago. He wrote about it in Amos 8 and 5. You say to yourselves, we can hardly wait for the holy days to be over so that we can sell our grain. When will the Sabbath end so that we can start selling again? Then we can overcharge, use false measures, and fix the scales to cheat our customers. They're saying, hey, as soon as the Sabbath is over, we're going to keep it honest on the Sabbath. We're going to keep it godly and holy on the Sabbath. But as soon as the Sabbath is over, we're going to tip the scales. We're going to kind of overstate the measurement here so that we can get the best of our customers. Let me bring that into 2025 language. When a repairman makes unnecessary repairs, that's stealing. When a doctor orders unnecessary tests, that's stealing. When a salesperson skips over the fine print, you've had it happen to you, that is stealing. If I sell a vehicle and I don't mention what's wrong with the vehicle, uh-oh, that's stealing. You say, no, Pastor, that's just creative business. I don't have to mention that. They'll find that out eventually. I don't know, my Holy Ghost doesn't allow me to do that. I don't want to use trickery. We can steal by deceiving customers. Here's another. See if this resonates. We can steal by defrauding employers. What do you mean? When we waste time on the job, the Bible calls this stealing. If someone is paying you for your time and you come in late and leave early and take 5 coffee breaks and an extra long lunch, well, there isn't much time left to actually work. God says that is stealing. It's not appropriate. Colossians 3 and 23 says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Do your work as though you're working for the Lord. And you say, hold on a minute. It's a boss man that's telling me what to do. It's a rude, a toxic, overbearing, domineering, cuss me. I've got a different boss. He doesn't act anything like the Lord. She doesn't represent anything about the Lord. And it seems the check I get every week or every 2 weeks has their name on it. And still, he teaches us, work willingly as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. I need this job, even though the boss is toxic, even though, I love talking to Elle. She's in a whole new world and meeting people and working for people and working with people, and it can get very interesting. And she's told me more than one time, about getting cussed at or cussed out, and all of those things that are just prevalent in the workplace. And you constantly have to remind yourself, wait a minute, I'm not doing this for them. I may be serving their vision. I may be executing the task that they have given me. But when I wake up in the morning, Lord, I'm praying that you order my steps. I'm going to keep my integrity. I'm going to keep my wits about me. I'm going to keep my heart soft. I'm going to keep my mind right. Why? Because I am working as though I'm working for the Lord rather than for people. I wonder how much better our work day would go if we had that perspective. If we did it like that, rather than trying to somehow slough our way through. I was in an airport recently and waiting there at my gate, and just across the aisle way from my gate was the restroom set up, men's and women's, and right there in the middle was the family restroom or handicap restroom. And I don't know, I had probably 30, 40 minutes before my plane was taking off, and so I'm people watching and getting some work done on my phone, and I see a handicapped, disabled situation come and try to access that restroom, and they were plenty patient, but they didn't have options of going in, or perhaps it was just much easier for them to use that single room restroom. And so I watched them. It caught my attention. They were being very patient and just waiting and waiting. The door was locked. They could not get in. And then I saw them leave, like maybe going and looking for another option. And then they came back, and the door was still locked. And so I saw that little lady just tap on the door, not unkind, nothing like that, but no one came to the door. This goes on for 20 or so minutes. This is a long process, and just watching all of this unfold. And finally, there was a little airport employee that opened up the door and came out and was still on their phone and had their little card. And I thought, oh man, this is not a good look. You say, well, maybe that employee was in there cleaning the restroom. Well, it's not a big space, and usually if they're cleaning, they've got the caution wet floor, the yellow warning stand outside, or if you're in there cleaning, you're going to open the door and say, hey, we're cleaning right now. This is closed for cleaning, but we'll be done in just a moment if you can wait, or direct them. No, I know exactly what was happening. An employee was hiding out in there and just trying to, nobody can see me in here. I'll just slough off a little while. The Lord says, that is not my will. Why? Because the commandment says we must not steal. We can't steal. It's just not a good look. We can't do that and honor God at the same time. Here's the third one. We can steal by delaying payments. I'm not getting any amens. delaying payments. It drives me crazy. When your bill is due, it better be paid on the very day, but let them owe you a refund 6 to 8 weeks. Gonna be a little while before we can refund you what belongs to you. But if you're 1 minute late, it's a $29 late fee. I don't have no help in here. I'm just preaching. But Leviticus 19 and 13 says, do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not make your hired workers wait until the next day to receive their pay. And I know we got business owners, and I know there's net 30 and net 60 and net 90 and go to jail 120 and all, you know, there's all of that. There's all of that. It's all in our local news right now. A local business owner that was not paying employees, and somebody, I don't know, somebody real mad at that lady, but it's a mess. You cannot delay payments and honor God. You cannot delay payment and still be in God's purpose. The fourth one is defrauding on loans. Can't delay payments, can't defraud on loans. There are people, believe it or not, nobody in this room, but there are people who have no intention of paying it back. They have no intention. I saw them posting on social media, you know, the Lord was supposed to come back on the 23rd or the 24th. And there were people posting about they were going to make a big purchase on their credit card because they knew the Lord was coming and they wouldn't have to pay it back. Folk are crazy, you hear me? We cannot defraud on loans. Psalm 37 and 21, the wicked borrow and never repay. It's what the wicked do. That's not what the believer does. That's not what the worshiper does. That's not what the Christ follower does. The wicked borrow and never pay. Again, Pastor, you're missing out on the joy of creative financing. What I'm not missing is if I sign my name promising to pay something, it is my integrity that's on the line. It's my reputation that is on the line. And if I've ever told him I'm a believer, I'm putting his name on the line. Is this too heavy? Here's number five. Oh Lord. We can steal by deceiving the government. I'm gonna go to the scripture. Romans 13. Pay your taxes too. For these same reasons. This is the Bible. This isn't Pastor Darrell. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. But hear me loud and clear. I think it's wise to get a good tax advisor. It's wisdom to have a good financial advisor and to get good stewardship advice. And use every part of the law. Use everything within legal means to ensure that you are not overpaying on your taxes. I just did this. I was on the extension list, so I just went through taxes and got all of that sent off. And I know it's not going to happen today, so I can rest today, but probably tomorrow they're going to call me and they're going to start talking to me about what maybe I owe or where I am on the scale. And it's just, I don't know, there's something about it that's just dreadful. I don't like it. I love my country. I'm thankful that I live in America, greatest country on earth, even with all of its warts and problems and issues and all of that. I'm thankful I pay my taxes have for many, many years, but still there is something just on the inside that says, I wish I didn't have to pay so much in taxes. And yet, The Lord says, pay your taxes. Do not deceive the government. So do whatever you can do. Get a good financial advisor that would say, hey, you can take advantage of this. Now, this is something you can utilize. This is something in your arsenal that would help you lessen your tax burden. You should maximize your money. Nothing wrong with that, but don't steal your taxes. God says, do not do this. Don't do it. Here's another way we can, Lord, it's going from bad to worse. Don't steal by defrauding the Lord. Is it possible to steal from God? God says if you're paying anything before you honor him, that's robbing God. This seems weird. It's pastor appreciation, and you're about to talk about the tithe. No. For every guest in this room that would think we're all about, I talk about this very rarely, and yet it is so much a part of the Bible. But I've not planned any of these messages, the week we had an assassination and a beautiful young lady killed on a train and all of those things, and the commandment was do not murder. And here we are on pastor appreciation, and we're talking about robbing God. They're just falling in sequential order. I understand. We find all the loopholes on this one, but God's word is still God's word. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offering. What is the tithe? The tithe means tenth or 10%. The principle is that the first 10% of all I earn goes back to God in gratitude, because in truth, I owe him everything. In truth, if I gave him every penny I could scrounge up and find on my person and my bank account, wherever else it may be, I still would not be able to repay the Lord for his kindness and his mercy that has been extended to me. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have anything if it weren't for God. I wouldn't have anything if it weren't for God. The truth is, he could have asked for 20%. He could have asked for 50%, but he said, I'm only going to ask for 10%. And you might as well tell the truth. You will not even get in the car when your favorite store announces a 10% off sale. But when it comes to the truth, 10%, that is so much. We have it so flipped. Exodus 20 and 15, you must not steal. Don't steal. Just don't do it. You're not going to build a relationship with God if you're breaking this commandment, and God is wanting to help us. And again, some of this may apply, and maybe none of this applies to your life, but like last Sunday, I told you that the word is preventative, and the word could be corrective, and the word could be redemptive and helping us before we fall into some trap. But here's what I know: God is trying to make us more like him. And we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to reach a state of perfection, but I believe we can get closer to the Lord and we can get nearer to the Lord. I have no interest in being a dishonest Christian, if there even is such a thing. Sounds a little oxymoronic. A dishonest Christian, there is, it's a contradiction. And in a day of watered down word and living in gray areas, my prayer is, Lord, make me more like you. Grow my integrity. Help me to be honest in all of my dealings. Why? What's the motivation to be honest? Why? What's the deal with being honest? Well, here's just a couple things on that. Number one, I'm being watched by God. I'm being watched by God. Have you ever heard of the perfect crime? You hear it in the news. You read it in stories where people, you know, they thought they had devised the perfect crime. The perfect crime is when people think they were able to do something, in this case, steal something and get away with it. They devised the perfect crime. But here's the deal. No. We may think no one will ever know about this. There's a church I used to preach at in Mississippi, and I used to go there often. And on one of my visits, they said, "Hey, you know Sister Betty?" Yeah, I know Sister Betty. They said, "Did she ever give you any money?" And I said, no one's ever given me money in this church, definitely not Sister Betty. And they said, "Okay, we're just checking, you know, we're just checking." I said, what's the deal? Well, if you saw a picture of Sister Betty, she's gone on to, I think she got it all right. She's gone on to be with the Lord at this point. But if you saw Sister Betty, you would never believe this, but Sister Betty embezzled $4+ million from the company she worked for. I mean, this little sainted woman, I mean, just everything about her looked the part. And she was kind of playing this Robin Hood thing where she justified it in her mind that if she took the money from those who didn't need all of that, then she could bless God's people with it. And so the reason they asked me that question is because one of Sister Betty's favorite things to do was to bless visiting preachers. And I was there all the time, and she never blessed me once. What does that say about me? I don't know. I think I'm kind of offended that I never was made accessory to the millions. I had some needs, Sister Betty. But she would give people thousands of dollars. And if she heard about a little family struggling in the church, somehow she would just bless them and do something great. But she got caught, and Sister Betty went to prison. She was in prison for a number of years, and she paid her restitution and paid her debt to society and to the legal context. And she got out, and she was out for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years before ultimately she passed away. But I never got blessed by Sister Betty. It's like them asking, you know, "Pastor, we, you know, you don't gamble, but you know, if somebody won the lottery, if they gave to the church, would you take that money?" 100%. Wouldn't have to pray about it. Devil's had that long enough. Are you suggesting we pay the lottery? You're going to have to let the Lord lead you, but I'm not suggesting you play. I'm suggesting you win, and then you honor God. All right, get back to my notes so I can behave, but I need you to understand something. There is no perfect crime. God knows everything. He sees everything that we do. Job 34, 21 and 2, "For God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. No darkness is thick enough to hide the wicked from his eyes." There's no perfect crime. God knows what I'm doing. He knows the intent of my heart. But people who steal, people who think this way are generally thinking, "Well, my employer is ripping me off anyway." That's what Sister Betty thought. "Well, they're using all this money for ungodly purposes. I might as well get some of it and use it for godly purposes." Well, that's not the way this works. That's not what God called us to do. "Well, I should be getting paid more. So if I take this under the table, if I take this when no one is looking, it's something they owe to me anyway. It's okay if I take those supplies and that equipment home. It's all right. Nobody's gonna know. They'll never find out." The new one now is when you see people breaking into stores and looting and some of those things. The excuse is, they have insurance. The insurance is going to pay that. Folks, do you understand that when the insurance has to pay that, they pass the cost on to the customer? And then you and I, honest, in our lives are walking in having to pay more. Stealing does not work. Doing things outside of God's will and God's plan does not work. And here's the deal. If I can devise the perfect crime that they never know about, guess what? God knows about it. And he's the one I'm trying to please. I'm going to stand before him in judgment. And God knows, where is our fear of him? Here's the second reason, to be honest, because I will reap whatever I sow. I will reap whatever I sow. I am concerned that this standard of holiness has been lost in God's church. We have convinced ourselves that we are getting away with something and we are not. Why? Why? Galatians 6 and 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It doesn't say some of the time. It doesn't say, here and there. It's always. You can count on it. It is an incontrovertible law that God will not be mocked. And here's the deal. If I plant corn seed, I'm going to harvest corn, not potatoes. If I plant apple seeds, an apple tree is going to grow, not a peach tree. If I sow dishonesty, that is the harvest that I am going to grow in my life. I'm going to reap what I sow. Proverbs 15 and 27, try to make a profit dishonestly and you'll get your family in trouble. If you try to skirt, if you try to cut the line, if you try to do this outside of God's will, it's going to cause you trouble. Proverbs 21 and 6, the riches you get by dishonesty soon disappear, but not before they lead you into the jaws of death. Here's the third reason, to be honest, because dishonesty damages my character. Dishonesty damages my character. Proverbs 10 and 12, I love the book of Proverbs. Wealth you get by dishonesty will do you no good. But honesty can save your life. Say it all the time. We just have to do the right thing. David said that his foot almost slipped when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. I mean, it was a real thing for him. It's a real thing for us. I've got a friend that says all the time, there is no justice in this world. When you see dishonest people, it seems like they're the ones getting ahead. It seems like they're the ones that always have abundance. They're the ones that always have the extra money to spend. And I'm over here just doing everything I know to do and just being as honest as I can be. And it seems like I am the one who is struggling. And hear me. Some of those people that you have your eye on, they are getting their reward now, while your reward is still to come. And if you'll keep doing the right thing, and if you'll keep living honestly, and if you'll keep just walking before God with integrity, God sees every bit of it. I don't know why I feel God so strong teaching something so practical and just sometimes the thing that we just, do I really need to hear this? Do I really want to hear this? And yet I feel God close because he's saying, you know what, when you get honest, it makes me want to work for you and bless you and make a way in your life. The Bible says that Satan is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's the hard truth. The devil wants us to steal because every time you do it, you become more like him. Whew, it's tight. We got one more of these next Sunday. You must not steal. Proverbs 19 and 1. Again, wisdom, it is better to be poor but honest than to be a lying fool. I read a study about the 50 most profitable companies in America. Fascinating. All of them sold or transacted in different products, and all 50 of them really were different purposes, but all of them had one thing in common. What puts them on this list of being one of the 50 most profitable companies in America? Each of those 50 companies had a moral code of ethics. Success followed their desire to be moral and ethical and honest in their dealings. I may not be a company all to myself, but if I will live by a moral code, I'm not going to cheat people. I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm not going to live in the gray areas. I'm not going to play that game. Then I believe God is going to bless and God is going to make a way. Do not let anyone buy your soul for a few dollars. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Here's the fourth one. God will reward. He will reward my honesty. I believe, I'm coming to a close, but I believe all of us are being tested in three ways. And it almost seems like these are just constant tests. I don't know that we ever truly pass. But life tests us and circumstance tests us. But we're being tested in three ways. We're being tested through trials and problems. That's one. We're being tested through temptation. And we're being tested through money. Seems like it's just always. Proverbs 28 and 20, honest people will lead a full, happy life. But if you're in a hurry to get rich, you're going to be punished. And by in a hurry, that doesn't mean you're not ambitious. That doesn't mean you don't have a plan. That doesn't mean you're not reaching for something. But in a hurry means I'm willing to do something underhanded in order to get ahead. I'm willing to cheat someone in order to get what I want sooner. I'm willing to cut corners, dishonest gain. The Bible teaches us that God uses these three things to test our lives, to see what is important to us and what is most valuable to us. Jesus said, Matthew 25, 21, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Because you were faithful with the little bit you had. You were honest with the little bit. I may not have much, but I'm going to do this as honestly and with as much integrity as I possibly can. He said, I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Let me close with just three steps to integrity. I'm going to say them very quickly. Make restitution when possible. Make restitution when possible. You remember Zacchaeus? I don't have time to preach the story. He was that wee little man. He was actually a dishonest tax collector. And Jesus was walking by and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. This was actually scandalous that Jesus would want to go to the home of Zacchaeus, who was hated by everyone. I mean, there's the whole tax man thing. I get that. Just in general, we don't like you, dude. But Zacchaeus was known to cheat people and to steal from people. And the reason he was so rich is because he had taken from those who didn't have it to give, but they feared the law and the government. But after some time with Jesus, Jesus went to his house. Luke 19 and 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, meaning from here on, I know I've not done it right up until now, but after after you coming to my house, after you showing up in my life, after you spending this time talking to me, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. You see, Zacchaeus became a real believer that day. The mark of a real believer is changed behavior. It's not signing a card. It's not just waving your hand. The sign of a real believer is life change. And I see it happening here week after week. I have those private conversations with you, people that are putting one spiritual foot in front of the other and learning a complete new way of living, and it's beautiful. And sometimes it feels like it's a step forward and two back, and sometimes it feels like it's a stumbling step, and other times it feels like it's just a stand still and just do everything you can not to be blown back or fall back or slide back. And yet God is changing our lives. And that next verse, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Your life has been changed, Zacchaeus. Here's the second step to integrity. Give God the tithe. Put God first. God knows and loves us. He sees everything and he still loves us. There are more promises about giving than anything else in the Bible. So he said, bring the tithe into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? That's the place where you're fed. It's the place where you are blessed. I could not tithe to people on TV. That's not my storehouse. I want to tithe to the church that I am blessed in and by and through. Malachi 3, 8, 9, and 10. "Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me?" You ask, how are we robbing you in tithe and offering? He said, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I don't want to steal from anyone, and I don't want to steal from God. God has a plan for our lives. When's the best time to start tithing? As soon as you learn truth. As soon as you know better. As soon as you know, hey, this is God's plan for my life, I'm going to begin this journey. How odd would it be to say, I learned today that I need to stop stealing. I'll tell you what, come January, I'm going to stop stealing. Well, no, that doesn't make sense. I want to be honest before God today. Here's the third one. Make a living honestly. Make a living honestly. I say this to every student, every young person in the room today. I love you guys so much. You serve the house, and it's beautiful, and you serve on our dream team, and I love it. But in a culture, in a world that says, just earn this honestly. Just find a way to get something, you know, behind the back, under the table. Make a living honestly. Whatever it is you dream about doing, whatever it is you want to do in your life, come by your blessings, come by your wealth, come by your success honestly. Put your head down in school. Don't cheat to get the answers. The goal is not to get the answer on the test. The goal is to get the knowledge. And I know there's plenty of teachers that get on your nerves, and there's some that just, it's just busy work, and it's frustrating work. And I get it. I understand all of that. But it's the plan that's in front of you. It's what you have to make work. And just prepare yourself. If at 14 you're saying, this is not fair, I promise you I got a gift today, Kristen. I thought all week long I was going to be 54, and I'm not. I'm 53. I was like my first. I had myself a whole year older. Get out of here, AARP. Senior lunch. I ain't coming. I'm not a senior. I'm 53. Don't I look good for 53? Lord have mercy. But if you're saying at 14 that life is not fair, get up here to 53. You're going to have a list as long as your leg of stuff that is not fair. But you still got to wake up and do the right thing and live honestly before God. Ephesians 4 and 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. They got to work. They got to do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Father, this eighth commandment, we feel it. We feel it. We feel it in our mind. We feel it in our heart. We feel it in our spirit. Lord, as you draw us closer to you, as you say, come on, there's some details, there's some truths about this word that I want you to appropriate into your lives, that I want you to live by. Someone in this room today could have a change in their behavior today. Someone could start doing business in a better way, in a more honest way. Someone could start getting some things organized. Hey, I'm not doing that anymore. Not living that anymore. I'm going to be honest in my dealings. I thank you, Lord, for amazing grace. I thank you for incredible mercy. I thank you, Lord, that every Zacchaeus in this room, that every person that's tried to do it another way, and there's mercy. You're saying, I'll forgive you. I'll make that right in your life. I'll wash that out of your heart and off of your charge. And I thank you, Lord.